Welcome, everyone. Tonight's shiur is sponsored Le'ili Nishmas, his yahrzeit tonight, Willie's father, Moshe Yaakov Ben Chaim Zeva Cohen. It's sponsored by Willie. And I just want to take this opportunity to thank Willie for all of his efforts and the schus that he's giving his father in terms of the Harbatzas Torah. And he's really a mahalach in this world in terms of the schar for him being Marbitz Torah in the community and growth in the community and Harbatzas Torah and mitzvahs in general. Shir should also be a schus for my father, Refuah Shleima, Yitzchak Yaakov Ben Bat Yisar. As the shir was advertised in the bulletin and many and in the announcements, we were going to talk about different topics, but generally the issue of ribbis. So the topics and the examples that were given throughout the announcements were just a taste of how common ribbis is, and people don't realize it. And the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch, when introducing the issur of ribbis and the prohibition to charge interest on loans, the Tur says it's a issur chamer ma'od. And you don't even realize, like this, you're over six losazis in the Torah. You do one thing, six averos. It's like six pieces of nevela right there. Just like that. And you don't even realize how common it is, the things. There were just a few examples. And I'd like to focus most of the shir on the nature of ribbis, but just, we're going to flip the order of the shir and present some of the halacha l'maisa at the beginning. And I'm sure many people have different cases. We'll try to, we have a lot of chomer, we have a lot to cover. Possibly we'll have, there was an idea maybe to have an extension on more cases next week. But just to give you a little bit of a taste of some of the things that come up, I thought it was relevant. Baruch Hashem, the Fairland community is undergoing a lot of growth. And people are looking into the house market, and young couples are looking into the house market. And one of the issues that come up when a young couple, like myself, is looking into the house market, I'm not the best candidate, necessarily, for a mortgage. And I don't have the best credit rating or experience, not necessarily that I have bad credit rating. Young people don't necessarily qualify as well as older people. So the first question that's usually common in terms of mortgages is, can my father or my father-in-law, depending on your relationship with either one, can they take out a mortgage for me and I will take care of the payment and he trusts me? But, you know, he's going to be the one that's signing on the documents and officially the bank is going to be on the books dealing with him. So what is the halacha? Theoretically, one could say, the mortgage company, for now, let's assume, is a non-Jewish mortgage company. There's no problem with paying interest, which you do, with a mortgage. That's the nature of what a mortgage is, that it's a loan. And then you pay interest throughout the loan, and that's how you pay off your mortgage, and that's the incentive of the bank. But I'm paying it to a guy. There's no problem of paying interest towards a goy. We'll see, hopefully, in Mirtz Hashem, at the end, most of the Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, they all hold that there's no problem in lending ribbis to a goy, to a Gentile. The Rambam is of the opinion that there is a mitzvah essay to lend ribbis to a non-Jew. When you lend a non-Jew, the Rambam says, you're obligated to lend a ribbis. Wow, what does that mean? We have to really analyze that. That'll come in the next step. So as long as I'm with a Gentile, however you slice it, mitzvah, no mitzvah, it's for sure permitted. So what's the problem over here? So we're going to get to it, one second. So the problem is that really the post can point out that there's a double loan going on over here. It's true that you're technically paying to a guy, but on the books, it's your father's mortgage. He is the loveh. He is the one borrowing the money. Yes, then he's going to give you the ability to live in the house and pay it off and take a loan from him. But you're now in return paying off his obligation. That is looked upon as two separate chiyuvim. There's an attachment between him and the Gentile mortgage company that he has to take care of. And then there's a separate cheshbon, a separate story between you and him in terms of your own situation, your own story that he now is loaning to you because he trusts you. And you're in turn saying, you're not going to have to pay a thing. I'm going to take care of all your obligations in terms of the mortgage company. I'm going to pay all the interest. And you're right. Technically, you're paying the interest to a Gentile. And there shouldn't be a problem because no money is going into the hands of the Jew. But that's not the case. Because if you are paying off another Jew's chiyuv, and that's the arrangement between you and the other Jew, so then it's as if you're giving ribbis to the Jew. It's as if you have a separate loan with your father or with your father-in-law that you are paying ribbis, and this is what's called in halacha ribbis ktsutza. What does that mean, ribbis ktsutza? One of the qualifications for something to be ribbis, and the real McCoy of ribbis, which is discussed in this week's parsha, Parshas Bahar, when the Torah discusses ribbis, it's referring to ribbis ktsutza. Ribbis ktsutza means it was stipulated. Ktsutza, liktsots, to stipulate. If we, at the beginning of the loan agreement, discuss and stipulate that I will give you this loan, but you will pay me interest for the time that you are now borrowing this money, that is what's called a stipulated loan, that now I am going to have to, I obligate myself because I am borrowing this money, and because you do not have the ability to invest and enjoy the profits and the payros of this money while you're loaning it out, I will cover it for you, and I will pay you interest because of that. That's called ribbis ktsutza. If it's stipulated, if the time of the loan causes a payment because it is by the borrower, that is what's called minatora ribbis ktsutza. Again, it has to start off as a loan, and it has to be stipulated and clear that the reason why I'm paying interest is because you are being generous and lending me the money, and now lose the right to do whatever you want with this interest. That is what's called ribbis ktsutza. What's the difference between ribbis ktsutza and any other ribbis? There are, if you go through the Shulchan Aruch, you'll see that there are many different categories of ribbis. There's four other categories of ribbis that are only rabbinic. We're not going to focus during this shiur about the rabbinic-oriented ribbis and interest issues. Those are cases of, let's say, a ribbis that comes out of a sale, not necessarily a loan. That will not be ribbis ktsutza, because one of the qualifications to being ribbis ktsutza, ribbis minatora, that the parsha is talking about in this week's parsha, is assuming that it was a loan, a halva. Others are ribbis mukdemes, ribbis muucheres. We didn't stipulate at the time that as long as the loan goes, I'm going to pay you interest for the time that I'm borrowing the money and you are relinquishing the rights of those monies for investing for your own interests. No. You gave me the loan. The loan was free of interest. Interest free. You're a nice guy. Baruch Hashem. Then afterwards, I decide to give you an added tip because I'm gracious. It was very nice of you. You gave me a loan. I understand, we didn't stipulate. I understand, we're not in the parsha of ribbis ktsutza and stipulated prior. But I still feel that a sense of gratitude, and I want to represent that by giving you a tip, a nice thing. That is what's called ribbis meucheres. Ribbis that is delayed. Ribbis interest that is given after the loan. That is only rabbinic in its nature. Since nothing at the time of the halva, nothing was stipulated, it was only decided later, and the person gave it after the loan, so that would only be rabbinic in its nature. Who cares? If something's usser, something's usser. Why should I make a distinction? Why? It's very nice. Yeah, we want to tie it into the parsha. Ribbis ktsutza, not. But what's lamaisa? What's in Shulchan Aruch, everything's usser. It's all prohibited. What's the difference? So the Gemara tells us that there's a very big difference. And hopefully we'll shed light on this and discuss it further throughout the shiur. The difference is as follows. We go through the loan. I pay you the interest. All right. We violated the prohibitions. Now what? What's the halacha now? So the Gemara discusses and presents a machlokas, two opinions, whether or not ribis ktsutza yotze bidayonim. What that means in fancy language, basically, is once you paid the interest and the malve, the lender, collected his interest and put it into his bank account, can Beis Din now come and force him to give it back to the borrower? Is ribis ktsutza yotze bidayonim or not? And that's a debate in the Gemara. We paskin, ribis ktsutza is yotze bidayonim. So you are not allowed to keep the ribis, and you are obligated to give back the interest charges, not the loan. The loan, you can give the principal, you can keep, but the interest, the added money that you got because you stipulated certain fees in terms of interest, that now has to be returned to the borrower because you violated what? Ribis ktsutza. Only if you stipulated. If you violated any other rabbinic type of interest, that will not have to go back, me'ikar adin, towards the borrower. And that is a big practical difference between ribis ktsutza, the ribis of the parsha, the ribis of the Torah, ribis that's stipulated, and rabbinic ribis, like the examples we mentioned, ribis mu'ucheres, or ribis mukdemes, whatever it is, rabbinic ribis. So that is, just to get a taste, already one example of ribis that comes up. If we'll have more time, we'll discuss any time that you return an item to a store, and the store is Jewish owned. Right? So what did I do? I purchased the item. Okay, I don't want to delve into it too much, but if you think about it, every time you go to a store in Brooklyn, a Jewish store, and you purchase an item, right? So what do? I give the money to the store. I go home. A week later, I see it doesn't fit. It's not for me. Thank God, Baruch Hashem, this store has a return policy. Within a month, no problem, give it back. Money back. Money back? 1 second. So what, technically, the sale, we reversed the sale. The sale never happened. They're giving me back my money, and I give them back their item. That's what returning means, correct? So how do we view, halachically, that money up until this point? So halachically, that money was a loan. I gave them money for a temporary amount of time. Yes, at the time I thought that it would be forever. But now we are discussing it and it turns out that this money, in retrospect, was only a loan for a temporary amount of time. It was a loan, they were allowed to do whatever they want with the money. And now they can pay me back other money. That's a loan. So they were allowed to use that money for whatever they wanted. Now I come back, I'm returning the item, they take back their item, they give back my money. Okay, so I gave them a loan. Where's the interest issue? Interest is not only getting back more money. Interest also includes getting back anything. We'll discuss maybe in other weeks. It's even a compliment, possibly. You can't even say that's something called ribis dvarim. There's certain things that you're not allowed to say. There's a machlokas between Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Moshe. If I can say the word thank you, all right, I'm not trying to add the chumras right now, and there's a lot to be so much to say thank you and be a mensch. I agree. I just want you to get a taste what type of issues there are. So 1 second. I got to use this item, this shirt, or whatever it is, for a week or 2 weeks prior to the day that I decided to return it. Apparently, we heard on Shabbos people do this l'chadchila by chasanas with the dresses. And then I decide to give it back. So 1 second. I, in essence, yes, originally it was a sale, but when you look at it halachically, I gave them money, I loaned them money, they now have to give me back my money, which is the returning of a principal on a loan, and now what? But in addition to the loan, I also got 2 weeks free of a beautiful of a beautiful Hugo Boss suit. Wow. I had interviews during those 2 weeks. I got what I needed. You know, the chasm is over. I gave it back now. Thank God. But that's ribbis.
Where's the Indian of Kenyan, though?
So the Indian of Kenyan. Yeah, I bought it. But now, in retrospect, we're being mevatel the Kenyan. We're canceling the sale. They're taking back their item. So now, if you halachically analyze what just happened, so now we have a sale that went bad, that turns into a loan, but it has some interest with it. So how do you give back anything to a store? This is a serious problem. There are answers. I'm not telling you can't. But store owners have to know that these things are issues. They have to create in their policies ways to circumvent these issues and to avoid these issues. You might have to do exactly what something you're suggesting, a buyback option. I'm not selling it to you and then canceling the sale and reverting back to a loan. But no, I bought it. I own it forever. And now I go back to the store and I say, store, I actually sell suits as well. Would you like to buy this suit back? Okay, now they're going to buy it back. So if it's a Kenyan, with a Kenyan, a buyback option, some of the poskim suggest, that's a solution. That's avoiding the loan issue. Because there was never a loan. You're buying something and he's buying it back from you. But it has to be in the clauses, it has to be in the rules of the store, and they have to be aware about it. But let's not get hung up on these issues just to get a taste. How many of these issues exist? Let's focus on what we presented, that the Torah in this week's Parsha introduces to us in Parsha's Bahar, Ribbis Ktutza. The prohibition in our Torah to lend ribbis.
Is this only in regards to you just don't want the item? It has nothing to do with what if the item isn't as you thought it would be?
Oh, no. Right. So 100%. If there's a mekach tos, there's a problem with the item, that's a different sugya. But let's say that it was totally fine. We're not discussing right now. You might have issues also in Mekachtos as well, but you're right. That has different ramifications, and that might have Choshem Mishpat ramifications, not only Ribbis issues as well. You're 100% right. So I'd like to delve into what is the nature of the prohibition in this week's Parsha? So you seem to get conflicting indications of what the nature of this prohibition is. In the first source, in source number one, which is on Daf Samach Aleph, the beginning of the Perek Ezuhu Neshech in Bava Metzia. The fifth Perek of Bava Metzia is fully dedicated to this topic of Ribbis. You want to learn this topic? You could take this Perek. That's all. Ribbis is all in that Perek. That's where it is, and the whole Perek is about it. So the Gemara says as follows, a striking comment of Rava, one of the Amoraim. Lamali dekosav Rachmana lav beribbis. This is a Gemara that's very relevant to this week's Parsha because it discusses two of the prohibitions that are in this week's Parsha. Why did the Torah have to tell us that there was a violation, a negative prohibition of ribbis charging interest in the Torah? Lav begezel, lav ona. Why did I need to say each one? One would have been sufficient. What? What's Rava talking about? Rava is presenting a question that I would have sufficed not to say Gezel, Ribbis, and Ona. What's Ona? Ona is a prohibition to overcharge. You're paying for it, but a person, without knowing for sure, is overcharged, and you sneak him and you overcharge him. Gezel, we know, is stealing. So the Gemara is presenting, I would have been sufficient with one. So the Gemara says, no, I need it. Shrichi. I wouldn't have known each one on their from each other. Because of Rachman Allah Beribis. Because if I would have only had the negative violation of ribbis, mishum dechirishu, it's different in its nature. It has a chirish. Da'afilu belova asar rachmana. Because even the borrower is over the violation of charging interest when he's paying. The Torah says if he borrows with ribbis, he also violates the iser. That's not similar to gezel. The person who's stolen from, he's passive. He's not doing anything wrong. So that's the first unique idea when it comes to ribbis. So therefore, I have to highlight and create ribbis on its own. V'kasav rachmana lav begezel Mishum de bal karche. No. If it would only said gezel, so I would have said, no, it's prohibited for you to steal because you're doing something totally against the will of the person you're stealing from. You're going over to him and grabbing something. He's sitting there screaming. Of course that's usser. But I wouldn't have known from there that it's prohibited to charge with interest, because when you're charging with interest, it's not nice, but technically the money that's going into the loaner's, the lender's pocket is given with knowledge. He knows about it. He's very aware, the borrower. And he agreed to such a stipulation. It's not bal karche against his will. And the Gemara goes on, and we don't have to go through the whole Gemara. But the Gemara goes back and forth trying to figure out why the Torah had to present each one. So one reads the Gemara and they said, what? Why is Rav even asking this question? What does one have to do with the other? Ribis, what does that have to do with Gezel? How would I know the Isser of charging interest, which is with the borrower's knowledge, from Gezel, which is something which is done totally against the will of the person that's broken into? Then you look at source number two. Source number two is a comment of the Gemara in Baba Kama. The Gemara in Baba Kama, just to say outside, on Kuf Yud Beis, is discussing the following. We know the halacha is when you steal something, so you have to give it back. Beheshev es hagzela. But the halacha is the sugyas in Merubah in the 9th and 10th parak of Baba Kama, which is this Gemara, discuss situations where the item that was stolen went through some sort of transformation, and therefore it's sufficient to pay the person that you stole from with cash, and you don't have to give him that exact item. And that's what's called a shinui. Shinui kona. That's what the Gemara discusses. If I physically change the dimensions of the object that I stole, so then the gazlan is kona, he acquires the item, and then he goes back to the person he stole and pays him the cash, the value of the item I stole. And that is not only with a physical transformation, shinoi in its literal sense, that the item went through a change, a shinoi, but the Gemara discusses that such an idea also applies to something called a shinoi rishus, which means not only if the physical item changed, but what happens if the gazlan, the guy who stole, sold it to someone else, to a lokeach, to a third party. So the Gemara discusses that that also would suffice and would not obligate the item and the third party to give it back to the person who was stolen from. That's what's called not a shinoi, but a shinoi rishus. It's changed properties and the domain of where the item that was stolen is in. So the Gemara discusses what happens if it wasn't sold, but what happens if the gazlan died, the person who stole died, and now he yarshined it to his kids. So they got something, big zela, this shaila actually came up a few years ago, they got it, biyarusha, from the gazlan. They didn't know what their father was involved in, and then it ended up that they had a nice solid amount of money from the gzela. So the Gemara in Baba Kama, in the source number two, in Kuf Yud Beis, is discussing Rishus Yorish, Kirishus Lokeach Dami, or not? Do we assume the same halachas that we presented a second ago, that just as if I sell it to a third party, so that's not going to obligate the object to go back to the person who was stolen from, the Nigzal, but rather now cash can be paid? So what happens if it wasn't transferred through a sale, but it was through Yerusha? It happened in Mimelo, the guy dropped dead, and now the Nechasim goes to the kids. So the Gemara discusses such an issue. Yes, no, the Gemara presents a machlokes. Fascinating Gemara. Then the Tosfos in source number three, because one of the proofs that are brought are from Ribis. Al tikach meito neshech adilei ki hech denach bahadach lididekah azar achmana lebrei lo mahazar le rachmana. The Gemara compares whether or not ribis from the from the malveh that was given to the malveh. Interest was given to the malveh, and now he dies. So the kids are not obligated to give it back to the loveh. So the same halacha should apply to gezel. We should carry over from ribbis to gezel. And that's what the Gemara is discussing. So if you look at source number 3, Tosa says, Vim tomar, v'heche midaktik mina, dekirshus lokeach dami. How could you learn from ribbis, a case where the yorshim of the malve, of the lender, yarshim, the ribbis, the interest, to a case of a sale and yorshim when it comes to gzela? V'heche midaktik mina, dekirshus lokeach dami. That we see that when it comes to Yerusha, by ribbis, just like they don't have to give back the ribbis, the kids, so too the same will be the halacha when it comes to the kids, the yarshins, the gzela, from their father, the gazlan. Tosa says, wait a second, hold up, what's the Gemara saying? Tosa says, what happened over here? The Loveh approached my father, the Malveh, and he was fully aware, he gave over, signed the check, and gave over the interest. That's not comparable to Gezel, which was done without his knowledge. And now you're going to compare the Yorshim situation to Gezel from Ribbis? Ulekachim chayavim lahachzir. Demilval pei, no government on Yorshim. Because this is like a regular loan. You don't collect from the Yarshim, but when it comes to Gezel, how do you know that that's the case? The Alpha Gav to me das nasim lo is nigabe betoris gzela. To have a casino betos, lo nasno shematora, elebetoris ribis, mikri gzela beina. Kevin Shamos bein, bahoyu chayov and lahachzir. Tosul says, which is the impression that we presented from the first Gemara, that even though it's true, and the argument that we're presenting is correct, and the story is that this guy gave the interest, he knew about it, and he gave it full willingly. But we still see that it's his money, and we'll call that gezel, to the extent that we're going to learn from there and compare it to the Yerusha of a gazlan. And that's the impression you get from source number 1. That Rava is discussing, he's bothered. Why do I need the Isser Ribbis once I know that there's an Isser Gezel? It sounds like when it comes to Ribbis and the Malveh has the check in his hand from the Loveh, it's really stolen money. And he has to give it back. To the extent that the Megillas Esther, one of the Svarim on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, you know, the Ramban, throughout Sefer HaMitzvahs, attacks the Rambam when he feels that he left out a mitzvah. So one of the attacks the Ramban has is that the Rambam left out the mitzvah that the Malveh, who got ribbis, who got interest, is obligated to give it back. That's a mitzvah's essay. And the Ramban said, why did the Rambam leave it out? So the Megillas Esther argues, you know why the Rambam left it out? Because he didn't have to repeat it. It's no different than the mitzvah's essay of the Heshev Esagzela. You have to give back stolen money. So when it comes to ribbis, it's just the same halacha. You have to give back stolen money. Why do I have to repeat a similar mitzvah? That's why the Rambam left it out. The Ramban apparently held that this was different in nature. That there was a separate mitzvah essay. And the question is why? And to add to these ideas that we're presenting, that ribbis is really mimicking the idea of Gezel, and it's not my money, and that's why I have to give it back. That's why what we started off with. The difference between Ribbis D'Rabbanan and Ribbis K'tzutza D'Oraisa. What does the Gemara say? We paskin, Ribbis K'tzutza is Yotze B'dayanim. Bezdin can go into your property and take out the money. You know what? You know what that sounds like? That schmecks of some Gezel. Just like you have some stolen property in your house that is not yours, Bezdin could take that out of your property and remove it against your will. So too, when it comes to Ribbis, it's stolen property. And it follows the same logic that we're presenting both from the Gemara and Tosfos and the Megillas Esther's explanation of the Rambam. However, it's interesting and a bit odd that that's not so clear cut. Because if you remember when we started the Shir and we presented the distinction between Ribbis, biblically Ribbis Ktsutsa, and Ribbis Durabonon, so we said we paskin Ribbis Ktsutsa is Yotze B'Dayanim and it could be collected. The Dayanim enforced that you should now give it back. But it's a machlokes? What do you mean we paskin? That's up for debate? If it's gezel, if it's stolen property, no one's going to debate whether or not you have to give that back. That already questions the whole idea and assumption of whether or not Ribbis charging interest and the money that the Malva actually got in his bank account now is really stolen money. If you look at source number 4, the Ritva challenges this whole approach that we've presented up until now. The Ritva, I'll say it out loud, you know what? He presents a machlokes between the Rambam and the Gaonim. The Rambam and the Gaonim have a fascinating machlokes. What happens after I give the Ribbis? I do it. That was the deal. We stipulated. We were both violated the Isser Menat Torah. Fine. Okay. Now what happens? The Malve, the guy who loaned the money, he's a big Baal Tshuva. He was Chozer B'Tshuva after Yom Kippur. He comes running to me. He says, I want to give back the interest. And I, Baruch Hashem, you know, I don't want to give him a hard time. I'm a good guy. I say, you know what? I'm mochel. Mochelach. Yom Kippur, we did Mechila. I'll mochel the Ribbis also. Is that appropriate or not? What do we say about that? So the Rambam presents the Shitas HaGaonim that says, absolutely, that's not appropriate. The Gaonim said, you're going to tell me that you could be mochel Ribbis and forgive the fact that he has to give it back? I don't understand. He did more than forgive it. He gave it midas. And the Torah still said that it was prohibited. He's walking over. He knows what he's doing. He's fully aware. He's conscious. And he's giving the money. The Gaonim say, ein mechila gedula mizu. There's nothing bigger than a mechila that he's giving it to you. Now you're going to tell me it's different if he's mochel it? You see that the Torah prohibited Ribbis, even if the guy gives it willingly, and no matter if he's mochel. And the Rambam differs. The Rambam argues, and the Rambam says, once the Ribbis is given, and the Lova says mochelach, so then you're not chayiv, you're not obligated to give it back. What's the nature of this machlokas? So let's skip 4 lines down in the Ritva. The chayin kosav Rambam, the mechil de lachar piron mahanya, it works. But if you look at the Gaonim, he quotes the Lo Mahanya. My Rebbe is like the Gaonim. Now listen to the way he explains the Shitas HaGaonim. It's unbelievable. Vitam Hadvarim. Omer Mori, my Rebbe told me. Ditvias Ribis. Lohavya kishar tvias begezel va'ona ukiyotzebehen. It's not like regular stolen property that exists in the Malva's Rishus. The Islay Achavri Shibun Mamun. That he now owes him the money because it's stolen property. No. That's not what Ribbis is. Elachiv hu shechayev hakosav lahachzir. Listen to this language. Isser shebala. Rather, what is it? It's a mitzvah and an obligation that the Torah obligated this malva, this lender, Isser Shebala. What is Isser Shebala? The prohibition that he swallowed. And he's not using this only in a figurative sense. The Ritva is intentionally using the language of Isser Shebala. An Isser that he swallowed. Like Macholos Asurus. Like treif. That is the nature and the paradigm of what Ribbis is. It's not mominous. It's not gezel. It's not in Choshen Mishpat. Look where it is. It's in Yoredeya. You want to know why? Because it's Isser Shebala. This guy gave him the loan consciously. He knew exactly what he was doing. And that's really his momo. And you can't tell me that he has stolen property in his Rishus that's similar to Gezel. No, 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 no. And that's why the Gaonim are of the opinion this is not like a regular monetary obligation that one could just forgive and be mochel. No. You did something that God said was wrong. You have to fix the Isser, the Macholos Asuris, something that's actually treif over here that has nothing to do with your monetary obligation to your friend. It's above and beyond monetary obligations, and it's considered Isser Veheter. Teda, what's the proof? The HaRab Yochanan Sover, the Ribis Ktsutza, Eina Yotze B'dayan. The Ritva says exactly what we just said before. How is it possible that there's an opinion in the Gemara that holds that Beis Din does not obligate you to give back the Ribis? If this was stolen goods, so then everyone would be in unison and in agreement that you have to give it back. It's not your money. Mamoni Gabach, it's my money. From the fact, even though we don't paskin like him, from the fact that there's such an opinion, says the Ritva, it seems to shed light that the nature of this prohibition is not dine mamonis and choshen mishpat oriented. And therefore, the Ritva goes on to say, v'gam l'divrei hakol, imeis banav turim. And therefore, if this malva dies, and he did not give back the ribis yet like he was supposed to, his kids are not obligated. Even though some might argue that when it comes to Gezel, that would not be the case, because over here, it's his obligation. There's an obligation for him not to eat treif. There's an obligation for him to give back ribis. And there's an obligation for him to put on tefillin in the morning. That's his chiyuvim. It's nothing to do with his kids. Because it's not stolen property. Other Rishonim that take the root of Gezel say that no, you're right. Theoretically and fundamentally, the kids should have been chayiv and obligated. But there's a gzeres hakosav. The Torah says, "L'didei azarachmana v'lo libnei." The Torah told us we stop it by him. We cut it off. But before the Torah got involved, yes, the regular laws of dinei mamonos would have passed down, just like Tosfos is of the opinion that this is just like Gezel. Of course. So you see that the Rishonim took opposite approaches on every single proof. And therefore, he goes on to say, even if Ribis Ksutza is Yotze B'dayanim, and Beis Din forces you, they can't physically force it without your knowledge and with taking it when you're out of town. Beis Din has to whip you like just like they can force you to do mitzvahs. It's a totally different understanding of what Ribis Ksutza Yotze B'dayanim. Could they take it against your will? Or do they just force you like Kofen Ala Mitzvahs? We force you to do mitzvahs. Fine. But then the Ritva in Kiddushin, following the same logic, says something fascinating. The Ritva says as follows. If you look at the Gemara in Kiddushin, the Gemara says, Gemara in the first paragraph is discussing all these wild cases of marrying a woman. I remember I once had a Rebbe. The Gemara discusses leaving out one of the words, Hariat Mekudeshes, and you don't say Li. You know, one of my Rebbe, Menaret Straw, once told me, like, I'll give you $500 if you go up there when you guys get married and you don't say, you know, just to make the sugya alive and like the shaila should come up because, you know, they don't come up. So the Gemara discusses the meaning of Kiddushin, a lot of these different cases. So the Gemara says, what happens if you don't give her cash, you don't give her a ring, but you want to be Mekadosh her with a milveh, with money that she owes you? And then the Gemara discusses, what happens, a milveh is not so good, you can't give her because you have to give her something new. But what happens if you're mochel her, you give her the ribis. You charge her 5 on a loan of 4. So the Gemara discusses that you really shouldn't do so, but the Ritva learns in the Gemara that you shouldn't do so because it looks like ribis, but technically it's not a problem. Let's see the Ritva. Bahanos milva mikudeshes, v'asur lasos kein mibnei aramas ribis. The Amrinon, and the Gemara says, what's the case? What are we talking about, Hanas milva hechi dami. What's the case? How is he marrying this woman? What's he giving her? Da amrle arba bechamisha perish v'kidsha bezuz hachamishisha ribis. I am giving you a loan, $4, and you're going to pay me back interest of $5. So you're going to give me $1 back interest, but I'm going to forgive that interest, and instead you'll marry me for that dollar. Fully fine. You can marry a woman for a dollar. Absolutely no problem. Shava pruta, that's sufficient. So that's the case. The Gemara says, ribis mal yasihi, the Gemara says, that's really ribis. How could a person do that? He's going to violate the violation of ribis. Perish, says the Ritva in the second line. Lishna ba'alma kakashile. Hechikarile haramas ribis. Why is it that the Gemara in such a situation said, don't marry a woman in such a scenario where you loaned her four, and now she, and you stipulated she's going to give you five, and instead of taking the fifth dollar, she's going to marry you, and that's as if you gave her a dollar because she owes you. The Gemara says, that's ribis d'oraisa. That's four for five. That's ribis k'tutza. That's not a lower level haramas ribis. That's real ribis. Avavadai, says the Ritva. Afilu b'ribis gmura. Im kvar parasolo, the chazer v'kitshabo, mikudeshes. But, you see from the language of the Gemara wasn't bothered by marrying a woman with that dollar. The Gemara was bothered, why are you talking about a case where this guy is violating the Isser of Ribis? But technically, is the person married? If he married her with that added dollar, the Ribis d'oraisa, the Ritva says, absolutely. Why? Because that's his money. Mamon gomerheim. Elashiyesh alav chova lachzira. Ubezdin motzien mimen. He's married. That was his dollar from his bank account. She owes it to him. There's no, what am I looking for? There's no gezel over here. I can't be mekadosh with gezel that I stole from her. But ribis that she owes me? I'm not a nice guy. I have tshuva to do on Yom Kippur. But the Ritva says, that's his money. This is the Ritva's shita. The Ritva's opinion that ribis is not choshe mishpat. It's not gezel. He can actually marry, technically marry the woman with that added dollar that he's charging her with interest. Even though he's violating the prohibition. But you see from the Gemara that that's his money and that he owns it. And therefore the Ritva is saying that there's no interest. Now, something fascinating. Don't say that it's at Sheva Brachos. But if you go on to this Ritva, and you read on, he asks another fundamental question. You know what he says? He says, I don't understand. But at the end of the day, why shouldn't the marriage be ribis? Let's say it was only a loan for four. She's getting ribis by the fact that now he's getting a wife. That should be the ribis. We said ribis doesn't have to be money. Ribis could be a compliment. Ribis could be, you know, all these other things. You know, you're letting me stay in your apartment in Eretz Yisrael for free. All these things are ribis. If you give it to the lender. So now he's getting a wife. What better ribis is that? You know what the Ritva answers? He says, that's not ribis. You know what marriage is? He says, hukona adon la'atzmo. He's getting a master. That's not ribis. That's what the Ritva says. That's the answer to this question. It's an interesting analysis on marriage. You have to really understand what he's saying. But the simple understanding, that's what he's saying. But, you know, many of us can understand. But, you know, that's what the Ritva says. You know, fine. But you see, the Ritva had a totally different analysis. Menakotza lakotza. Some Rishonim are of the opinion, no, ribis tuto yavot yabdayonim. We could force it out of his Rishos. This is like Gezel. You can compare this to the regular dinim of Gezel. And the Ritva says, absolutely not. It's a mitzvah. It's his money. He can become a Kaddish, a woman with it. She can marry her with Bisachar. The issue with Chazer is a different issue. It's not that, you know, you could marry her with a piece of Chazer. The answer is because she can go to the marketplace and she can sell that piece of Chazer to a guy. Your question really is, can I marry her with Arla from last week? Which is prohibited with in positive benefit and you can't get any hanah from. So then, you're right, she can't get anything out of that. So then, that would be a problem. But, the Mishnah Melech discusses what happens if she's a chola. She has the ability to violate the Isser. I am not a chola. I don't have the ability. So what do you say in that case? So then the Mishnah Melech thinks, well, it depends. Do you go by her? Do you go by him? Does it have to be mamon for him? Does it only have to be mamon for her? A whole big machlokis, Rishon and Rashi and the Ritva, whatever, we're not going to get into that. But yes, technically, Chazer, you could marry her with. So we basically presented two opinions of the Rishonim. There are many more Rishonim than we presented, but this is the basic gist. Whether on the one hand it's Gezel, it's similar to Gezel, or on the other hand, no, it's totally Isser Veheter. It's like the Ritva's language, Isser Shabbalah. And then you have the idea and the opinion of the Ramban. And this is the opinion that I'd like to close with. The Ramban has some contradictions. He seems to play for both teams. On the one hand, we just mentioned, if you took a loan from someone and you let them stay in your property for free, so that's ribis. So the Ramban, in discussing that sugya in Pamitsiya and Samach Dalet Amud Beis, the Ramban says, well, is it ribis d'oraisa? Is it ribis k'tutza? Is it only ribis d'rabbanan? Like we started off, there's major nafkaminas, the Rishonim have to discuss this. So the Ramban says, it's only going to be biblical ribis and ribis k'tutza if there's actually real mumminess and financial gains that's going on here. And a law, a financial loss to the lender. And therefore the Ramban says that if this guy is staying in an apartment that was Kaimal Agra, that would have been rented out, and now because my lender is going to stay there, so it's not going to be rented out. So that's a case where this is biblical ribis. There's actually something monetary going on with the fact that he's staying in this apartment for free, and we could view that as biblical ribis. And then the Ramban says, Dumya de Geza. Just like it's prohibited to go into someone's property, like we discussed way back at the beginning of the year in Parshas Vayera, in the sugya of carpools, we discussed that going into someone's house without permission, if that property is Kaimal Agra, would have been rented out, and is financially now causing a loss towards the person, so that's considered gezel. Now you're basically stealing money without actually taking the money. You're staying in this property, and now no one's going to rent out the apartment. So the Ramban is comparing the dinim of ribis to the hagdaras of gezel. Whatever is financial and monetary over there, dumya de gezel, also we're going to carry over to ribis. Yet if you remember the Megillas Esther that we presented at the beginning of this year, so he explains, the Ramban attacks the Rambam. Why didn't the Rambam count in his minyan ha-mitzvahs the fact that the lender has to give back the ribis, the interest? And the Megillas Esther says, you want to know why the Rambam left it out? Because it's a repetition. It's like gezel. Just like you have to give back gezel, so too you have to give this back. And the Megillas Esther is saying the Ramban attacked him because the Ramban didn't view ribis in the light of gezel. Rather, ribis is different, more similar to what the Ritva is under the understanding of. That it's iser, it's a mitzvah to give back. But it's not mumminess, it's not that I owe it back to him, it's not stolen goods. So now we already have a contradiction between the Ramban. Is it gezel oriented? Is it mitzvah oriented? How's he playing for both teams that we presented? This is a serious problem. Remember when I was once talking to Rabbi Shechter about this Ramban and Samach Dalet that we're discussing about renting the house, about giving it to the lender? So he says to me, the Ramban says gezel? How does that work? Yeah. He says, that's a... So yeah, it's a big issue. The Megillas Esther is right. That's the contradiction we're talking about. What's going on over here? So I'd like to close with this idea that a few of the Achronim have. One of my Rebbeim, Rav Rosenzweig, had this idea, and the Ramban in Kisetze says the following. And this really sheds light on the nature of ribis, and I think sheds light on the time that we're in right now. Lo sashich la'achicha should not cause your brother to lend beribis. Gamzu mitzvahs mu'v'eres lo'lobe ma'she'enkin b'chol dinim amenes shem ratzu la'azuk b'nechas of rashai. The Ramban starts off in his analysis in Parshas Kisetze of the prohibition of ribis. Here there's a distinction. When it comes to the borrower, there's also a violation, which we don't find by any other issers of Nezek, of Gezel. Your things can get damaged. You can create such a scenario. There's no isser to be stolen from. Uber b'kan Shiyya ribis hanachri mutter. And the Torah tells us that as opposed to Jews, interest charged to Gentiles is permitted. Below hister came the gezel b'gneva. And the Torah did not say so when it comes to gezel, because the halacha is stealing from a non-Jew is prohibited. Gezel akum aser. Kamosha amru b'baba kamak of yudimel. Gezel goy aser. Aval haribis. Shehu nasa ledas shnehem. Uberitzonam. Lo nesar. Ela mitzad. Ha'achva v'hachesed. Kamosha tziva v'yahafta l'reyecha kamocha. Kamosha amru l'cha. Yishamar l'cha pen. Yed davar in levavcha bliyah. V'alkein omer. And that's why the Pasuk says, Leman yivarechecha Hashem Elokecha. The Ramban is telling us, you want to know why this is different and it's permitted to non-Jews as opposed to gezel? Because it has a different driving force. It's all based on the mitzvah of chesed. It's all based on the mitzvah of v'yahavta l'reyecha kamocha. And that doesn't exist when it comes to Gentiles. And therefore the Torah says in the Parsha, L'man yivarecha Hashem Elokecha, ki chesed v'rachamim, yaseim achiv, kasher yalvenu b'lo ribis, v'sei choshev lo litzdaka. The Ribbono Shalom will respond and look at this as such a generous thing when you act kind with chesed and rachamim and you lend to your friend without ribis. That's what the Ramban is telling us. The Ramban is telling us, you know what ribis is based off of? It's based off of chesed. It's true. An outcome of ribis is that because you're exploiting and you're totally revamping the kavanos of the Torah, so we'll go to the extent that that money shouldn't be yours and it's considered gezel. And it's similar to the hagdaras of gezel. And it's the Torah has a similar formulation to ribis because it's such a revamping of the kavanos haTorah. But don't think that it's really gezel at the beginning of the day. The driving force of lending beribis is that you're totally disgusting the concept of chesed. The Torah has the kavanah that you should act v'al hafta l'reyecha kamocha. A person who charges for the rental of his money, for the time that his money, you're going to get that money back, and you're still charging fees, that is the ultimate lack of chesed.
What?
And to the extent that, because you're not taking a loss.
Yeah, and, but I'm giving you this loan because you can't get a mortgage. What greater chesed could I do to enable you to have this loan to buy your house and you can't get a mortgage?
The Ramban says, give it to me for free.
Why is what I'm saying?
You're not going to lose money any.
But why is that not considered?
The Ramban says the chesed is you give something. You're not even like a regular stock organization. You're not even giving charity. I can hear. You want to tie it to me? I can't. I need the money now. Yeah. You're going to get the money back. You're going to get it back. And still, you're taking advantage of this person. You're now charging him for the chesed that you're doing. You're charging for chesed. How could you do such a thing? That's taking a concept of chesed, a righteous idea, and now you're making it into income? You're making it into a financial asset? That can't be. That, the Ramban says, that's going to even create gezel. But you see over here is the Ramban, this is the exact answer to the contradiction. And the Rambam, when he introduces ribis, so like we said, one of the fundamental points of ribis, Menat Torah at least, it has to be a loan. It has to be a halvah. When the Rambam presents the mitzvah of halva, he presents it in the context of an ani. Person should loan, the ikar mitzvah tzedakah is not just to give away the money, but to loan it to a person. And then the Rambam follows through and presents to us the prohibition of ribis. Because that's the context. You're taking v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. You're taking the concept of halvas ani. You're lending to a poor person. And now you're going to take advantage. Now you're going to charge him interest? So that will go to the extent that now that's going to create the money to be gezel. So yes, there are elements of this, the fact that it starts off as a mitzvah-oriented idea. It's based off of Haftal Reicha Kamocha. It's based off Chesed. But because you're totally rearranging money, that's totally not deserving it to you, so then that will have the extent that the Gemaras and the Rishonim will even look at this money in a Gezel light. And will look at that this money is totally not fit to you. And this is where you see the interplay between Pirkei Avos, between Midos, and Choshen Mishpat, and Gezel. You see the Jewish legal system. This is what the Ramban, the Rambam, that's what we're presenting. The two Mahalchim that we presented of the other Rishonim, these Rishonim seem to combine them and say one causes the other. And all the inferences and diukim that we presented are all correct. But it's because one causes the other. It's because you have a mitzvah b'haftal rechmocha. You're obligated in Pirkei Avos. You have to act like a mensch. But when it comes to the Jewish legal system, it's not just about my money or your money. It's about money that's fit for you. It's about money that's fit for you as a Jew. And if that money is not fit for you, because of a mitzvah, because of chesed, so that could even affect the Choshen Mishpat area. That could even affect Gezel, and that's why the Ramban could really play both sides of the fence, combine both approaches, and this is the idea of Ribbis, and that's why it's found in Yoredeya. Because it starts off as an Isser Veheter, like the Ritva presents as Isser Shabbala, its driving force is a mitzvah, is chesed, is rachmim, is v'yahavta l'rechemocha. And that's what Kabbalah Satorah is. That's what we're approaching. We're learning Pirkei Avos. Come on, you go to your yeshiva guy, you'll say, I want to hear a k'tzais. Kabbalah Satorah, you're going to deal with me this, you're going to mitzvahs, Rabbein Yonah's on Pirkei Avos, what? Yeah, that's what the Torah is. It's all one system. It's all connected. Ribbis will create Choshen Mishpat. Choshen Mishpat will create Ribbis. It's all mitzvahs. The Haftal Rechamocha is in the same sugya of Gezel. Because it's all one legal system. And that's the hachana of one big package of Kabbalah Satorah. Yeshikayach.